The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
And now it is time for two of my favourite people, Cal Thomas, syndicated columnist. Tomorrow marks the 35th anniversary of his syndicated column, and Marion McKeown, US correspondent for the Sunday Business Post. They both join me. And before we get started, I want you to listen to a clip about a mayor. This is Mayor Pete Buttigieg, who's launching his campaign for the presidency.
My name is Pete Buttigieg. They call me Mayor Pete. I'm a proud son of South Bend, Indiana, and I am running for president of the United States. Now, I recognize the audacity of doing this as a Midwestern millennial mayor. More than a little bold, at age 37, to seek the highest office in the land. You know, up until recently, this was not exactly what I had in mind either for how I was going to spend my 8th year as mayor and my 38th year in this world. But we live in a moment that compels us each to act. The forces changing our country today are tectonic. Forces that help to explain what made this current presidency even possible. That's why this time is not just about winning an election. It's about winning an era. Not just about the next 4 years. It's about preparing our country for a better life in 2030, in 2040. And in the year 2054, when God willing, I get to be the same age as our current president.
Now, Marion, I want to go to you. So, Pete Buttigieg comes across as this Midwestern Hoosier, folksy, feel-good guy. But let's not forget, he studied at Harvard, Oxford. He's the same brand of kind of intellectualist that we got with Barack Obama. Why do you think that being the voice of the millennials might stand him any chance in a field so crowded to go forward for the Democratic nomination?
Well, first of all, Carl, I don't realistically think that he does have a chance of getting the nomination, but I think he's a really important addition to the field. He could, and he could certainly be somebody who might get it on the ticket as a running mate. He's important for a number of reasons. Firstly, he's the first openly gay person in America to run for president. He's incredibly likable, and this is a really big thing here. He's very articulate. He's very smart, as you mentioned. He studied economics at Harvard. He's a Rhodes Scholar at Oxford, first class honor. He's very articulate, and he's also one of the most important things about him, I think, is that he's a religious a guy who religion has really been sort of ignored by a large portion of the left, and they don't really run it, or they run it in a way that isn't entirely convincing, like Hillary Clinton, where they sort of pay lip service to it. He has said that he is an openly gay Christian, and that he's also served in the army. He's served in Afghanistan. He sort of ticks all the boxes. And what makes it really interesting is the fact that he's gay. He's young. He's energetic. And for people, he's taken up the cudgels against Mike Pence, who's also from Indiana. You know, he comes from a really conservative state, and he said to Mike Pence, look, if you've got a problem with the way God made me, take it up with my creator. You know, so it's really pushing it back to Mike Pence, who is a horrible homophobe and has been really appalling in some of the things he said and in his support of conversion therapy. So I think it's time that the left said, you know, we can be religious too, and you don't, to the right, you don't have the monopoly on this. And Buttigieg, as I said, he's so articulate, he's so smart, he's a real asset to the field, and I think he's going to make other Democrats have to up their game, which is a good thing.
Cal, this sounds like we have a man who's an anti-Pence, and we have a Democratic field who's an anti-Trump. Is that all they have to go with?
Yeah, pretty much. We hear these things all the time. You know, Barack Obama was going to fundamentally transform America. Bill Clinton was going to, keep hope alive and do all these other things. In all of these candidates, they all have basically the same positions: national health care for everybody, withdrawal from Afghanistan, guaranteed income. They all sound the same. You know, things never seem to get better for Democrats. Every time they're running, even when they have a Democrat problems with education. There are problems with everything. But they never seem to solve them when they get in office. It's always about the next election and the one after that. I think some of the things that Buttigieg has said about Mike Pence are just, frankly, offensive. Let's call him a Christianophobe. Mike Pence has very strong evangelical beliefs, and instead of attacking him for being a bigot, he should be respecting him for at least those beliefs. And Pence has said many nice things about this young man, calls him a friend, said all kinds of nice stuff. But, of course, that doesn't get you any points to the Democrats. I think he's just flavor of the month for the media. Frankly, there's so many in this race. There's one top Democrat I'm just reading about this morning who predicts the likelihood of a brokered convention in Milwaukee. Wouldn't that be interesting? Most of these conventions are just rubber stamps for the candidates who win enough votes during the primaries. But I think if there's a brokered convention in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Democratic convention next year, that might actually be worth going to. But I don't think, you know, Buttigieg is going to be the nominee, frankly.
Cal, let me just take you away from that anti-Democrat rant that you're always so good at putting on for us and say this. Imagine we'll play a game of fantasy politics. You've got to pick three politicians from the Democrat side, say one presidential hopeful and two others. Who would you take on to Team GOP?
Well, first of all, I wouldn't, I wouldn't label me an anti-Democrat rant any more than I would label Marion an anti-Republican rant. I just think that's an editorial opinion which I reject. I don't think the Democrats have anybody, frankly. I think that they don't have any issues.
Cal, the whole party has to have someone. Come on, there must be one who you admire.
Excuse me, I didn't. How come you only interrupt me and not Marion? Let me finish my thought, if you don't mind.
Okay.
I don't think the Democrats have anybody that can run on issues that are better than what President Trump has done. Lowest unemployment in 50 years, a skyrocketing economy that has improved, especially the IRA and SEP retirement accounts of many retirees in key states with electoral votes that a presidential candidate is going to need in order to win the election. I don't know what the Democrats are going to run on, really, frankly, that makes a difference to a majority of Americans. The optimism is good. The consumer confidence is good. If things stay the way they are, Donald Trump is a shoo-in for his second term. Now you may speak.
Okay. Marion, I'm going to go back to you, and just for balance, I'll interrupt you just to make it all fair for everybody. What do you make of this? Donald Trump has 1 million new donors. He's raising money at 21 times the rate Obama did at re-election. He's topped all the Democrats, raised $30 million in 3 months, and the National Committee adding their cash onto it gives him a cash pile of $82 million to seek re-election. There is basically no one who can run up against him. Bill Weld has put his hat in the ring. No one thinks he stands a chance. We're looking at Trump for another 4 years. How many pools of liberal tears will we fill with that?
Well, I think there's a lot in what Carl just said, and I think it's reflected, Carl, by Trump's fundraising figures. $80 million at this stage in the game is formidable. But a couple of things about this. Trump's fundraising pool, if you look at it, there's only a tiny fraction of small individual donors.
It's now, hold on. Corporate. The average donation, this is me interrupting you, by the way, for the record. The average donation was $34.
That is not if you take the over. I won't go into the election funding things, but that is a distortion. The average donation is not that. That comes from one particular sector. Okay, so if we accept, and it is a fact, and I think Cal will agree, that Trump is overwhelmingly getting money from big donors, you look at that figure, okay? Now, I think that Trump, I agree, Trump is at the moment in a really strong position. Cal is right, the economy is doing well. People are looking at what's in their bank accounts, and they're thinking, well, we're doing okay under this president so far, but we're a long way to 2020 yet, and anything can happen. Personally, I don't think things like the Mueller report are going to make a big difference or a big dent in Trump's ratings, because his support base, and he has 90% approval with Republicans, don't really care about the Mueller report. I think that Democrats are on a very difficult climb here. I don't think they should underestimate it, but I think that, unlike Cal, I don't think that all Americans Americans only look at the what's in their bank account as the bottom line when choosing a leader. Trump has never been able to get above 50% popularity, and I think that if a Democrat comes along, I think they're, you know, I don't see an obvious leader. I think Kamala Harris is strong, but I think she's been disappointingly timid in the last couple of months. But she is a good fundraiser. She's a smart woman. I think Beto O'Rourke's a lightweight, frankly. I think Buttigieg has much more substance to him, but I disagree totally with what Carl said about Democrats having no ideas. Every big idea that has improved the country, Obamacare, you go back to the introduction of Social Security, it's always been Democrats and Democratic presidents who come up with the big ideas. And at the moment, there is the Green Deal, which everybody mocks, is, mark my words, the next big idea in America, and older Americans may mock it, but I can guarantee you the Liberals are going to cotton onto it, and this is a huge economic boon to America potentially as well. So I think Democrats need to harness new ideas. They need to present them correctly, but they are. This is a tough hold for them.
That sounds to me like an anti-Republican rant. I'm going to accuse you of the same thing. And I would say Republicans had some ideas, like ending slavery. That was the founding father of the Republican Party. You can never take that away from them. Cal, what would you say to that?
Well, look, I think what we have in all of these candidates, especially the Democratic Party, and I know some of them, and, you know, the Green New Deal, most economists think that would break America. We're already $22 trillion in debt. As long as China and India continue to be major polluters in the world, there's not going to be any change in what has been cyclical temperature changes for millennia. But what you don't hear from any of these candidates is a line from... to paraphrase John's inaugural address in 1961, ask not what your country can do for you, and I say ask what you can do for yourself. They're not saying that we're going to remove restrictions that's going to help you become a better person, a more successful business. It's all about what the government can do for you. The government does very few things well. The government is not going to be able to run the health care of a nation of 320 million people. I mean, the NHS in the UK, a much smaller country, is having struggles with it. Who wants a bunch of bureaucrats in Washington telling you you can or can't have treatment, you can or can't? You're too old, you don't contribute as much in your taxes anymore, so we're cutting you off. I mean, this is very dangerous stuff. Why people turn to government as kind of a demigod is just amazing to me when government can't really deliver very much.
Oh, Cal Thomas and Marion McKeown, the next time you're both in Ireland, I'm going to have you over to my house for dinner. I could keep you going on this all day, but unfortunately, we are out of time.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.